Hello, everyone, and welcome to the North American Irish Coaches Show. Today we have Dean Arrowsmith on the show. Dean is live with us here from Chicago and is one of the founders and board members of Head in the Game, mental health awareness group that has popped up in Ireland and has done great work within the game. So, Dean, welcome to the North American Irish Coaches Show. How are you keeping?
All good, Anna. Thanks very much. I appreciate that introduction. I think it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, we've blown you up there now. So, Dino, just tell us about yourself and your journey to Chicago and where you're from in Ireland, and we'll start with that.
Yeah, so I suppose, look, I'm from Dundalk originally, but grew up in Cavan. So I've certain people that's listening to the podcast may say I have no luck at all, you know. But started coaching my father as a founder member of Coothill Harps down in Coothill in Cavan, and I grew up next door to the pitch, you know. So I've been, you know, I've played with them all my life, and found out at an early age I wasn't a very good footballer. You know, I think I got my father's two left feet, but at the age of 16, I started in getting into coaching. I done my kickstart 1 2 weeks after I turned 16, studying under the likes of Tom Mohan and Jason Donoghue and people that are, you know, still highly regarded within football circles in the FEI. Went and studied in college in Dundalk IT. I studied community sports leadership there, and during my third year, someone who's probably famous with a lot of coaches that have gone to the US, the last name of Conroy, a lot of people would know Jim Conroy. You know Jim very well. Jim's son Ryan came in and gave a talk in DKIT about spending a summer coaching for a company that's not around anymore, MLS Camps. I'm sure a lot of the older people that's listening in that are based in the States would know of MLS Camps. So I had the opportunity to go out. I came to Chicago for a year for 6 months in 2009, and I went home, and I was very fortunate that when I was at home, I got invited to come up and work as kit man for Dundalk for a week, and I ended up staying for 3 years. So got to kind of study under Ian Foster, who's the England under 20 manager. You know, I was kit man during his time at the club. Wayne Hatswell, who is the assistant manager now at Walsall in League Two, was the assistant manager that first year, and myself and Hats would be good friends. Hats is actually the godfather of my daughter now. America has always kind of been in the back of my mind when I did come home, and every year I feel like I applied to go back, but that love of Dundalk Football Club just kept me at home for 4.5 years. But 2015 rolled around, and I just said, look, if I don't go now, I was just turned 26. I said, if I don't go to America now and give it one last chance, it's probably going to pass me by. And went out in 2015, enjoyed it, came out to a club. I'm working at an AYSO club, but working for the competitive arm of an AYSO club just in the suburbs of Chicago. And within 18 months, I was elevated up to director of coaching, you know. So since 2017, that's been my role here. And it's been great for me to be able to work in the game full time, to continue my education through the US soccer licenses. And now, you know, I'm lucky enough or unlucky enough to be on the UEFA A license with yourself, Enda. But it's been great for me to be back involved in football full time. You know, after I left Dundalk, I was doing it just volunteer role with Coothill Harps for a few years. And since 2017, being in a full time has kind of given me that want to continue my education. And it's been great to get to know people like yourself, you know, through the NAICA, and start building that connection or those connections of Irish coaches that are based here in the States.
I would say you're a lucky man to be on the course with me, you know.
I know, then they put me sitting beside you too.
I've seen more of you recently than my own wife. Heading the game, Dino. So obviously I've kind of followed along. I've listened to some of your podcasts, some great stuff. You know, for people that don't know about it, that are listening, I mean, many of our listeners will know about it, but just give us a brief kind of synopsis of Head in the Game, and how was it born, and what is it like as regard mental health within football?
Yeah, so Head in the Game, basically what we are is we're a mental health organisation. We're currently based in Ireland, but we're starting to kind of spread our wings to the US, to the UK, and hopefully in the long term, we want to be a globally recognised organisation. But our main objective is to spread the message of positive mental health, or a positive discussion around mental health in football. You know, that's the biggest thing, because as you know, and I'm sure all the listeners know, you know, being in a dressing room, or the dressing room is known as being this hyper masculine place where you can't show emotion, you can't show your feelings. And we're trying to kind of break away from that and tell players, tell coaches, tell supporters, if you're having a tough time, it's okay to talk about it. And where it was born from was probably from a personal level, you know, being based out in America. I lost my uncle to suicide in 2017, at a time where if I hadn't moved, I was just seeing my now wife. If I hadn't went home, I would have been kind of breaking my visa conditions and I would have had to stay home for 6 months to a year. So I ended up staying in America during that time when he got buried, during a very tough time in my life. And then fast forward to 2020 and Dundalk FC's videographer Harry Taft passed away by suicide right in the middle of COVID at the end of July. And the next day I kind of just said, or that day, you know, I kind of said, enough's enough. Like, something has to be done for men. Not just for men, something has to be done just within our industry, you know, to just get people to talk about it. And the reason why I kind of reference men is men are more susceptible to have to commit suicide, you know, than the female counterpart. So I think it's very important that conversation is had. So I got on to about five or six lads in Dundalk that'd be friendly with. Initially, Heading the Game was born just to be around Dundalk, just to be around the League of Ireland. But what we found is, I mean, after probably 48 hours of announcing that we were here, it just grew. It grew massively, you know. And I wrote a poem called The Floodlights, which came out. We had James McLean set a line for it in a video. Andy Reid kicked it off in the video. Megan Campbell, who's another Irish international playing with Liverpool Ladies, was involved in supporters from around the league. So it's kind of grown from there, and we partner with two mental health charities back in Ireland, Shine and Jigsaw. Shine is a general mental health group, and then Jigsaw is catering towards that 15 to 24-year-old, the young adult kind of age, which probably needs it more than anybody else. So kind of what we're trying to be is we're trying to be a signpost, you know, for people that need help. I'm not Dean Arsman's not sitting on here talking to you today, Enda, as a psychologist, and I wouldn't profess that I'm a psychologist, but if someone messages me because they know I'm involved with Heading the Game, I can now put them in touch with people. Even if someone in the US listening today, where I've just referenced two Irish charities, if someone messages me after listening to this conversation, like, you know what, I'm not feeling great, I'm feeling a little bit homesick, I have been for some time, I need some help, I can now give you specific mental health organizations to your state that you can contact. There's another one in New York, Solace House, that is an Irish, they're actually an Irish mental health organization. They're run by Irish people, and we've formed, it's not official yet, but we formed a partnership with them. So if any Irish person is listening to this and needs help, I'd be able to put Solace House in touch with them to get them that help that they need, you know, at no cost to people. Because as you know, in America, the cost of any kind of support, both in your physical health and your mental health, costs money. So it's trying to utilize Heading the Game to help with to help offset some of that cost for people, you know, and find free resources that are available.
Yeah, Solace, we actually shared during COVID, I think, on the North American Irish Coaches social media platforms. Obviously, mental health it's always a tough thing, but it was even tougher for people during the COVID times. I mean, I think it's a great thing. I mean, myself, I've had two cousins commit suicide and one player actually, probably 12 or 15. It was actually anniversary the other day, and it seems to be very pop, you know, it's so common and it's, I think it's great what you guys are doing. And, you know, I've been so much more conscious about it. Obviously my own personal experiences with players and things like that. So I think it's wonderful, the organization and what you guys are doing. Dino, what advice, like, to coaches, players, do you have, like, if they're feeling down? I mean, obviously the stresses of life, you and I having the laugh there about the A license, we're both married with kids and stuff, you know, it can be a challenging time for coaches. I mean, I landed in Ireland last week doing the A license after losing a game at 50 seconds. I was bleeding mad, as you know, and it pulls you down. Football can pull you down. You know, what advice do you have to players, coaches, like, if they're feeling that way?
I think probably the biggest thing is to be willing to talk, you know, be willing to talk openly, find someone that you can trust, that you can speak to. And then if someone comes to you, you know, on the flip of that, be willing to listen. And one thing that I've learned, you know, since heading the game kind of was established is listening is a skill as well as talking, you know, and actually being willing to listen and listen to someone's problems. You don't need to fix them, but sometimes just being able to listen to someone who is struggling is a help. I mean, I know for a lot of people listening here are, you know, Irish people that have moved out to the States, and one of the biggest things is homesickness. And homesickness can be not just that you're missing home. Something could be, as you say, something could be going on in your life that affects you, that you can't get home. You can't confide in your family. You might have, like myself and yourself, you might have, you know, extended family through your spouse and their family. And sometimes, as good as that is, it's not exactly the same as your own parents or your own family, your own friends to talk to. So, but having someone that you can speak to is a big thing, you know. And don't be afraid to share your burden, because as you know, Enda, and I don't want to get too personal, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but during COVID in 2020, my wife and I lost our first daughter, and probably one of the most therapeutic things for me has been being able to speak about it. And I've no problem saying on this podcast, and I'm not just saying it because I'm on it, you know, I feel like my relationship with you, Enda, has probably increased off the back of that, where you'd be checking in on me. You might never mention my daughter during that time, but you'd call, like, you were ringing me and you, I think we might have only met once before that, you know, but you'd ring me. Dara, who unfortunately isn't on today, Dara texts me during Charlie's anniversary. John O'Rourke, who's the chairperson for the NAICA, would reach out to me and check in on me. Brian Roberts as well. You know, I'm just naming a couple of names, but it's utilizing that community, you know. And I think that's one big thing about the Irish community that's out here, and that's why I speak very highly all the time of the NAICA. Is America is such a big place, but the NAICA is making it that little bit smaller by having this Irish community together and having people that will check in on you, having people that, I mean, I feel like I could ring you, and I don't know if I'd get an answer from you, but I feel like I could ring you if I was struggling, you know. And you'd cheer me up even just with shy talk, you know what I mean? We could have shy talk together. But
hey, I'm good at that, though. I'm good at that.
That's it. But having someone, you know, that you can reach out to, whether it is a spouse or anybody, would be the biggest thing. And but the one thing that I'm learning over the last probably 12 months or so is if you need that medical advice or you need medical help, that's okay. You know, there's obviously a stigma around, well, I don't want to take, you know, medication for anxiety because I don't want to be stuck on it for the rest of my life. But the more I'm realizing is more people are on it than aren't on it, or more people are going to get, you know, to speak to licensed psychiatrists or licensed therapists. And that's all right. You know, there's no issue with that, and don't be afraid to do that. Is the minute you ask for help or the minute you speak about your problems, it does feel like a huge weight has gone off your shoulder, you know. So as I say, that would be the biggest and most important thing, is don't ever feel like your problem is too much for somebody, you know, to be willing to talk about it. And then on the flip of that, if someone does come to you with a problem, just listen, you know, and you don't have to fix their problems. Just tell them, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. Do you feel maybe would you like to talk to someone that's a professional? If you have those resources, like Head in the Game have, you can provide it, but you don't even have to do that. You just be like, I'm so sorry to hear that that's going through. It, just the fact that you're caring enough to listen will help someone.
Yeah, for sure. And it brings me on to the next piece about the NAICA and what it means to people like you. I mean, I remember coming to America almost 20 years ago, living in New York, huge Irish community, every summer playing with GAA, and I never really missed home, to be honest. You know, at Christmas I would stay. I mean, you'd be in the bar, you'd be with people from your own town. It was just great. And I think once I moved out of New York and moved to different places, lesser Irish communities, then you realize what the GAA had done in these places. New York, I remember we played, me and my wife actually were involved in the GA club in Charlotte. And I remember meeting, or I don't know if I think I got, I text John O'Rourke and Dave Clark about this. Someone had mentioned that this was something they were looking at. And I was just dying to get involved. I thought this is it. We can bring the soccer community together in America. And it's kicked on from there. And I think what's kind of your thoughts on the NAICA there? And obviously, I think we're a group here to talk for people and the conventions and meeting up. And, you know, you might be an Irish guy in Iowa or Kansas, and there's not a big community. How do you think the Irish within the NAICA will help people like that?
Yeah, well, I don't trust some of the riffraff that's on the board there, but no.
Some dodgy characters.
There is a few dodgy fellas. But no, I think honestly, and we were talking off air before we hit record on this, you know, my first experience with the NAICA was at the convention in 2019 when there was the big event down at Chicago Fire's training ground. But because I was close to home, I didn't get a chance to attend any of the social events, but it was nice to, you know, on that day to be able to meet so many Irish people that are around the US. But, you know, for me, during COVID, all the stuff that you've done, you know, you had guests like Martin O'Neill, you had Chris Hughton, you had just a who's who of football names, you know, you done those with, is something that you wouldn't be able to. And I'm sure for you, probably you're pinching yourself, and Martin O'Neill's waiting in the Zoom waiting room here, you know, to come on. It gives you the opportunity to ask questions of these people, and it gave the people that were listening in the opportunity to ask questions of these top level coaches, which that's one big thing. But I mean, for me, I would go down to every United Soccer Coaches convention and nearly not pay to go to the convention, but I'd go down for the few days to spend time around the Irish community. And this year, you know, just when I was talking about Martin O'Neill and that, you know, you guys brought over Niall Quinn for the few days, and after Niall done his talk for the convention itself, we all went and had lunch with him. And that lunch, it was a long lunch, like it wasn't just we had a bit of food, like it went on a few hours, and having things like that, and then having the social event on the last night is, for me, it's a big thing. And I said it before we went on, you feel a little bit more Irish, you feel a little bit more at home, where that probably would get me through, if I'm being totally honest, that would get me through six months of homesickness, having that to look forward to, having the aftermath of that. Like, you know, when you go back home to your wife, like you end up, you miss your wife, you miss your family and all that, but you don't miss home just as much. There's always that element of homesickness, but you don't miss it just as much after having a week like that, you know. Or as I say, I'm already looking forward to Philadelphia. I'm hoping I don't have much time with End of Cream when I'm there, but but I'm looking forward to that time already, you know. And for me, if there's any Irish people even that's listening to this that isn't part of the NAICA, I'd advise anybody sign up now and get ahead of the plan for Philadelphia, because I'm sure there'll be good coach education components to what you have planned. But I'm sure for me, I think those social events are nearly more important, because it's a chance to relax. It's a chance, as I say, to be among Irish people and to reminisce on the good times at home. And it just feels like home. As I say, the only difference is you're not drinking as nice a pint out here, but it has that feeling at home when you're in a room full of Irish people.
Yeah, definitely does. And that's kind of, how important is that kind of Irish community out here? I mean, obviously you touched on it a little bit, but it does, it's so important. It gets you through, you're missing home. You know, you know, again, it kind of goes back to what we've talked about, even with the A-license, going home to do the A-license. People are saying, why are you going home to do it? It just brings you closer to the community at home. But, you know, for you, you know, it gets you through 6 months. You know, advice to people would be get to the convention, get involved, get closer to the Irish community, no matter where you live. Phone calls just a second away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and that's the biggest thing. As I go back, you know, during the tragedy that my wife and I had, if I didn't attend that first convention in 2019, and meet the likes of yourselves, I probably wouldn't have that relationship. And yourself and Dara, I knew Brian obviously from my time in Chicago in 2009, but having yourselves, John O'Rourke, that were willing to reach out and check in on me, you know, I might not have had that if I didn't attend the convention. So it helps in the good times, but it also helps in those times of struggle that you have people in that you can confide in. And as I say, and I only know you 3 years, but it feels like I know you about 10 years. And that's one amazing thing about an Irish community out here,
yeah.
You know, is you get to know each other that little bit quicker, and you get, you know, because we're all experiencing the same highs, the same lows, no matter what level you're working at, coaching at, we're all still Irish people living in America, you know, so we're experiencing the same things. And as I say, I would advise anybody that's listening that hasn't joined the NAICA now, I would join it, and I would look actively for plans for what's happening in Philly. And I think, I don't want to talk out of turn, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I assume the more people that show an interest, the more chance there is of maybe doing a second event, you know, away from the convention at some other point in the year to get people together and make it, you know, that it's not just 12 months away, it's maybe once every 6 months or something would be something that's amazing, you know, for me, and I'm sure for all the Irish community to get them together, because as I say, it's a huge help in such a big country. It makes it that little bit smaller that we're all connected.
Yeah, and I think you know, we've all been there. Hey, I don't miss home. I don't miss home. But I tell you, the longer you go on, you'll always have times when you're going to miss home. And I think it's more so than ever important to have people to pick up the phone and just you know, have the crack with. And you know, as we said, it's much needed sometimes. You know, when you're in a different culture, different environment, and you can just let the hair down and kind of feel at home. Heading the game, Dino, what's next for Heading the Game? What's kind of the next steps for you guys? You talk about expansion.
Yeah, so we're still growing. I mean, the biggest thing is right now all we've done is we've developed, you know, our output. So we've been putting out content with our podcast. We post, you know, this is Suicide Awareness Month here in America. Unfortunately, that's just a US thing. It's not a global thing. October 10th is World Mental Health Day, so we'll have some content going out around then. But long term, I mean, we want to start delivering talks, so we want to start facilitating talks. So we had our AGM last month, and one of the big things is there's a talk that is actually internationally recognized called Safe Talk. And once there's a registered person to deliver that, whether that be in Calvin, in Chicago, anywhere, once there's people that are registered to deliver that, they can deliver it to a group of between 12 and 25 people. So that's nothing to do with the people that organize it. It's a company in Canada, but it's just not well advertised that not enough people know. You know, you can request this, it's at no cost. All you have to pay for is a venue. So one thing that we're trying to work on through Heading the Game is we're going to try, you know, let's say it's with yourself and down in Christian Brothers in Memphis. We could maybe liaise with you to see, would you want to run this for your players, or would you want to run this within the university, you know, for faculty and coaching staff? Then it can be CBU men's soccer in association with Heading the Game will run this safe talk. We'll run this safe talk on a night, but then we can point you in the direction of who the facilitator is, who that educator is, and they can come in and give it. So the biggest thing for us is we want to educate people. You know, we want to educate people on the signs of how can we help someone, or how can we acknowledge that someone has those suicidal tendencies, and how can we prevent them from escalating to the tragic point of it, you know, and save lives. You know, and one of the big things for me with Heading the Game is we've already saved lives, but I feel like by facilitating these talks and educating more and more people, I think that's for me is the main goal from my position in Heading the Game. Is can we educate more people to be able to help others?
Dino, you kind of touched on it a bit already, but how have you seen the Heading the Game grow in Ireland? I mean, obviously, there was a stadium or a ground named after. There's been so much backing and following to it. You know, how overwhelming was that?
Yeah, it's amazing, Enda. And I think that the most amazing part of it is that it's organic. You know, we don't pay for our social media to get pushed out or anything like that. I think we may have paid like €2 for two posts because Facebook gave us a free tenner. You know, that's the Calvin man and me coming out. I won't spend any money on it. Like, but no, what we do is, like, we obviously we released that video, the floodlights, and within, I think, 48 hours, there's 250,000 views on that across all social media. Again, that was all completely organic. And then we partner with Umbro, which is a big help because Umbro is obviously, you know, recognized as a football brand in Ireland. So we have bespoke gear, which is still on sale at umbro.ie, for me, that's a walk and talk and advertisement for Heading the Game, because everyone that walks down the street wears that. Our logo's on it. They recognize that. But it also has Shine and Jigsaw's logo on it as well, at no cost to either of those. So it's free advertisement for them. And then we also have a host of clubs. Dundalk FC have an advertising board and up at Oriel Park. Casey's Field, I think it's called, till the end of the season of Heading the Game. So anybody walking through the doors of that, it's in within eyesight of where you come through the turnstiles of Casey's Field, that you'll see that sign. And again, it's just if it resonates with one person and helps one person, it'd be fantastic. And as you alluded to there, I mean, probably the biggest push we got at no request of our own. This was something that happened without our knowledge initially, and we were asked if we were okay with it. Was Drogheda United, and it kills me as a Dundalk fan to praise them, but in fairness, Drogheda United were the first club. As soon as Heading the Game was launched, they had our logos been on the match day program ever since, within a week or two. And then they named the ground Heading the Game Park for the last two seasons. Fantastic. Which, I mean, it's in national newspapers, it's on Football Manager. If you've bought Football Manager in the last 2 years, Heading the Game Park is Drogheda United's ground on a computer game, you know. So it's unbelievable. And then last year we partnered with the PFA Ireland. So the Young Player of the Year award at the PFAI Awards was the Heading the Game Young Player of the Year award, which again is just fantastic. And we released the second video for that, which Ryan Keenan, a poet from Dundalk, wrote this really, really amazing poem, and we put that out. And again, it done similar numbers to the Floodlights one. And going back a little bit, we actually, the last two seasons in the National League, so in the League of Ireland and in the Women's National League, all the captains for Mental Health Awareness Month in May will wear captain armbands with Heading the Game logos on them for every game throughout the month of May, which is, again, on a national level, you know, you're getting that exposure that we probably wouldn't be able to get, you know. And it was just true. Again, I'm the type of fella that I'll ask a question. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I'll ask a question, and the FEI have been very supportive and responsive to us with that. And what's great now is we actually released the captain's armbands for sale. So you've got clubs up and down the country. My club here in Chicago have captain Heading the Game captain armbands for a couple of our teams. So they're wearing them every match. And now in the Leinster Senior League, I think there's three clubs in the Leinster Senior League. Their sponsors of their kit have actually given up the sponsorship, and it's Heading the Game logo on the front of their jersey in the Leinster Senior League, you know, which is amazing, you know, because that's the highest amateur level in football back home. So for us, it's again, it's just the goodness of people. I think people want to see change. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that have happened since we've been involved, you know, since we've established ourselves, is people want to help, and people are reaching out to us for help, you know. So it's just been amazing to see that exposure. And as you talk about growth, then I think the biggest thing now is, can we start replicating some of that, especially here in the US? Can we get captain's armbands on teams of every Irish coach, you know, or clubs belonging, you know, to every Irish coach that where there's DOCs? Can we get Heading the Game in those markets? Because as you well know, it's the next generation of players are the players that need help as well. They probably need more help than any player has before them with regards to their mental health. So can we just use the Heading the Game logo as a reminder that they're not on their own, and if they need help, they can get it, you know?
For sure. I mean, it's brilliant to see how quickly it's spread in Ireland, and hopefully we can eventually get it over here within the Irish community, the football community. And, you know, obviously just kind of the Irish kind of sticking together and maybe promoting us down the road for us. Dino, why do you think players and coaches in football are not as open to speaking? Like, why have we seen more issues within the football game? Obviously, male side for sure, but even maybe the women's side. Why do you think in football, is it because of the highs and lows? Is it balancing the football life? Maybe having a partner that doesn't maybe see football as a job, or vice versa. What are the things you've seen? Why is it so common, mental health problems?
Yeah, I've actually been having this conversation a lot recently, and I spoke to one of the professional players back home, and this playing within the League of Ireland. One of his teammates last year in an interview actually said about how anxious he gets before games, and I had this conversation with a player, and he said he was never aware of that, and his answer, and I think this rings true for all football, and I'm sure you see it in your dressing room, is players not showing their emotions, not showing when they're struggling, or if they do show it, it's a sign of weakness, you know. And in a competitive environment where if someone shows a sign of weakness, certain players historically might have exploited that because that player's playing their position every week, you know, so they want to get in. Where slowly that tide is turning, where you're seeing, like, I think there was one of the players, wasn't there, Everton came out and spoke about their mental health recently. I think Jesse Lingard has spoken openly about his. I think it's actually, to me, it was seen historically as a sign of weakness to talk about your mental health, to talk about the struggles that you've had, where in all actuality and in the conversation I have, it's the opposite. It actually shows a great deal of strength. you know, to be able to openly talk among your peers or to your coach and say, I'm struggling, because as I say, and as you alluded to there, people don't want to do it, you know, and it's difficult to talk openly and honestly about your emotions. So for me, I think the reason why people haven't is just because it is that stigma is still there, that it's a sign of weakness in the dressing room. And again, when you talk there about coaches, I think as coaches, we bear a responsibility, and you know this as a dad of two back home as well. You've got a family life, but you're also managing in your club, with your team, you're managing maybe 24 lads as well, and you have to look after them. They also almost become an extension of your family, you know, so you have to look after all of them. So the last thing that you want to do if you're having a bad time, if you're missing home or whatever, you don't want them to see it, you know, so you have to put that brave front on. But David Moyes recently in an interview with on the High Performance podcast brought up about how he has certain people. The late Walter Smith was one of them. Sir Alex Ferguson was another. He has people that when he's struggling, he'll actually reach out to these people. So having someone maybe away from football, someone that isn't going to judge on how you're feeling, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, being able to talk and talk openly, even if it is just to one person. I think that's something that could definitely help you out. So as a coach, and this is something that I've been very vocal about over the last maybe 4 or 5 months, trying to figure out a way for coaches' care, because as you know, there's a lot going on around player care right now. So having something that we can support coaches around us would be something that's very big for me.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, you're sometimes just on an island, right? You're kind of, you don't really have, you know, you win, it's great, and you lose, it's tough. And oftentimes the blame goes on the coach, and yeah, it becomes those players do become an extension of the family. I remember when we had the kid last year commit suicide. It was at a previous college, and I had three guys from Central and South America that never had been part. They've never seen that. It was culturally not there, and I had to bring them to my house and have dinner with them. And you know, it was it does when you get into coaching. It's they do become an extension of your family, and everyone's trying to keep the balance, keep the load. But what advice would you give to coaches, you know, that feel kind of alone, especially, you know, it's tough when you're balancing everything, even a director of coaching, the parent issues, you're dealing with so much stuff going on. Like, obviously, I've kind of got a little bit older now. I just kind of try to focus it on the kids or come home, shut off the phone. Like, what things work for you within that?
Yeah, so some of the best advice I got was put the phone away in the evening time, you know, have time for yourself. For me, exercise is a big thing. You know, I go out and I run. About 5 years ago, you know, when I went through some tough times in my own head and my own mental health, I would have just gone out and had a pint, you know, where nowadays it's go out and exercise and just forget about your phone for a couple of hours, you know, go out and take a run. Or if people don't like that, if people, a pint helps you, and this is something I've learned as I've done my studies through mental health, if going out and having a pint by yourself or having a pint with someone helps you, by all means do it. Just any kind of vice, anything you have that helps you, don't overindulge in it. And that would be the same even with me in terms of my exercise. You know, I wouldn't, if I ran a 5K and that helped me, great. If I ran a 10, if I do a 5K the next week, it doesn't help, so I have to run a 10K. Okay, if I end up having to run a marathon just to feel good about myself, there's probably something up there, you know. So it's just minding yourself and knowing what helps you and utilizing that. But again, going back to the points that I've made throughout this conversation, is having people within the NAICA, as I say, for me is a big help. And just when I was talking about the likes of David Moyes, having Walter Smith and Sir Alex Ferguson, like, he probably won't like it if he's listening to this that I'm mentioning him, but John O'Rourke done a lot for me that John probably doesn't even realise, you know, during the time when I lost my daughter, because John was checking up on me. And it was at a time where I was thinking, actually, after that, how am I going to go back to coach? Yeah. And John was talking me through those times, you know. So having someone that, again, I only met John twice in my life before we had these conversations. Like, it's not like it's someone that has been a friend of mine for years.
Did he buy you a pint?
I think he might have done in Kansas. Yeah, he might have made me get him one first, though.
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant. But you know, having a person just that you can trust and having a person you can lean on is a huge help. So I owe a great deal of gratitude to John, but that would be some advice that I would give to, is just find someone that you can chat to. And it doesn't have to be someone in your football circle. It could be anybody at all, you know, but just having that one person or a couple of people that you can chat to is a big help.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of goes into the next question, is like the homesickness and things like that. Obviously, you know, social media, you don't have to know somebody to reach out. Like I said, you know, we kind of knew each other before we met. I think that's probably a good point to any Irish listening here. They're a student, they're in the middle of their season, they're not playing, they're injured, a coach is down. Like, don't be afraid to reach out, right? Social media, get an email address, pick up the phone. That's the beauty of what we're all trying to do here between Heading the Game and NAICA. It's, you know, reach out, right?
Yeah, I think use social media what it's good for. You know, social media gets so much flack for the negative side of things, but I think, as you say, building networking for me is the biggest plus, and that's nearly all I use social media for now. And yeah, like, you know, homesickness is actually probably intensified by certain social medias, because you're seeing everything that's happening back home and you're like, I'd love to go back for a day. But then you go home on a holiday, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening can relate. You go home for a week and 2 days in, it just feels like it felt 10 years ago, you know, and you remember the reason maybe why you got out of there in the first place, why you made that move. But yeah, I think build connections, like myself and yourself. Obviously, you're on the A license together now at the minute. I'm putting up a post about being on the A license. It actually, you end up getting about 5 or 6 people reaching out to you, asking about it, and you end up building connections that way from Irish people that are out here that I still haven't met to this day, you know. So again, I would say when people are homesick, and if you're on social media, and I think most people that are away from home will be on social media to see what's happening back home. I would be like, when you make those connections through your football, through your career, build on them, reach out to each other, become friends. Do you know what I mean? And when it comes to something like the convention, like the NAICA events at that, when me and you met down in Kansas End, I think that was probably the first time we really met in person. I think we might have had a quick conversation in Chicago 3 years ago. But it was like I knew you for 10 years, because I was sick of you after 2 minutes. Like, but no, it was, you know, we were able to sit and have a drink because we knew each other, because we connected with each other. Yeah. We had conversations, we'd had phone calls, you know. So it's use social media for what it's best for, and get to know people out here, because there are times are going to come where you will have that opportunity to meet up, and it's good to have people from home that just understand what you're going through.
Yeah, community is everything. I mean, community is everything. And I think people think community has to be where you live, but it really doesn't. Community can be, it can be on social media, it can be on the phone. I think it's so important to have people to bounce things off. And you know, if you are struggling, to reach out and get help. I'm all about it. And obviously, I've had a few things close to home with my family and ex-players. So it really intensifies your how observant you are with these things. And I was reading stuff today on social media that some coaches now in the US are giving mental health days off to just, you know, rest and stuff. And you know, maybe down the road it'll come into coaching as well, where there will be days off, because it is a tough profession. And anyone that's listening that's involved in it, it is an intense season, whether it be club, whether it be high school, whether it be college. And there is a lot on you sometimes. So
yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, about coaches. So I manage a staff of 10, and all our staff are, you know, either from the UK, Ireland, South America. There's nobody that's actually local to America. Everyone's away from home. And at the start of the season, I get them to do a SWOT analysis, and one of the threats for everyone is something happening back home, you know. So there is things, and there's factors, and there's missing home that affects their mental health. But one thing that I've brought in, and I'm sure the majority of coaches that are listening in will acknowledge this, that, you know, for the most part, when you're in season, especially in America, where you might have, you know, downtime in the winter or downtime in the summer, when you're in season, it's 7 days a week, you know, you never get a day off. But one thing that I've brought in for our staff is they all have one day off a week. And I've stressed to my staff, take your day. They'll take your day, completely switch off when you get the opportunity, and do something for yourself. And like, I had two staff that were off on Monday, just as a quick example, and they tried to text me, and I told them to F off. I says, because I'm the director of coach, so they want to talk to me. But I was like, it's your day off. I said, I don't want it. And I says, you can text me at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, you know. So I want the staff to learn to give themselves boundaries. Not everything has to be on the job. They can switch off when they need to, and they do need to, You know, so that would be something just for other coaches to consider. If you get your Friday off, take it as a day off. You know, tell your parents, set expectations with your players that you're not to be contacted on those days, and take that day just for yourself. If it's sitting at home playing FIFA all day, just do whatever you need to do just for a day to relax, you know.
Yeah, we actually got home on Monday morning at 1 o'clock, and I told my two assistants, I don't want to hear from you tomorrow. Like, don't call me. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm sure you'll call us by 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I actually didn't call them. And one of them called me in the afternoon. Oh, what do you think about this? I said, I don't care. I'm out on the bikes with my kids. Like, yeah. I'll see you tomorrow. So it's important to switch off and kind of, and I wouldn't be the greatest now at this. Because, you know, when you lose last minute or you have a red card or something happens, you want to get something done quick and dealt with. But no, listen, great advice. You know, I think it's important to stay connected to your community, where you're from, taking time off, and just you know, embracing that as well. You know, wish you all the best for the future here. Any last words kind of for people about, you know, heading the game, any webinars coming up, anything that our listeners should try to tune in for? Obviously, we'll be seeing you in Philadelphia, but any last kind of words for the listeners?
Yeah, so just keep checking us out on social media, Heading the Game IE, I think is our handle across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a podcast series going. We actually released just a really, really good podcast with a coach called Brian Murphy, who's based in New Zealand, last week. Brian's story is phenomenal. There's some really good stories from different people from before that. Dave Rogers done a podcast. He was the very first one. He's one of our ambassadors. His story again for League of Ireland legend, now coaching at Nottingham Forest with the under 23s. It's just a fantastic story. And we have one coming up in the next couple of weeks with Leanne Kiernan, who's a women's Irish international and playing with Liverpool. She just got a really bad injury, but that's going to be an interesting one because we want to make sure, you know, we're not gender specific in the stories that we're telling and the people that we're trying to help. We want to help everybody. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is just follow us and support what we're doing, because the more support that we get for Heading the Game, the more growth it's going to get. As I say, I want Heading the Game to become this globally recognised group for mental health within our sport. And I think the more support we get, the more effective that's going to be. And I just look forward to seeing everybody down in Philadelphia. And if anybody wants a drink, Enda's buying.
Aye, John O'Rourke's paid. No, I mean, listen, it's great. And I kind of, you know, I think it's a great organization. It's brilliant what you guys are doing. It's something that's, you know, a hot topic at the moment, mental health, and especially in sports. And obviously we can tie this into with being Irish abroad, or, you know, I know you had Brian Murphy on there recently abroad in New Zealand. So it's all the one, you know, it's networking, it's community, it's mental health, it's helping each other out. So it's brilliant to see. And that's what we've done with having our guests on the series. And, you know, that's one of the things I always kind of, it's almost like you almost like guilt these people into, like, hey, we've been in America for 20, 30 years. How brilliant would it be to have, you know, you in Kansas or you on a webinar? And do you know what? A lot of them just turn around and go, you know what? That's brilliant, because a lot of them probably went away from home when they were young, played professional football. So this stems all the way back to that as well. So brilliant stuff, Dino. Heading the Game. Hopefully we'll see you soon, and we wish you all the best, you and the group of lads, in everything you're doing with Heading the Game, and anything we can ever help here in North America, we look forward to helping. So appreciate it.
Cheers, and just before you finish up, if I can just thank the NAICA as well for everything you've done for Heading the Game in Kansas at the convention this year. You know, you kind of put a spotlight on us right behind Niall Quinn, and you had one of the shortest fellas representing Heading the Game. I think there's a photograph. It's like Max and Paddy. But in all seriousness, we as a group really appreciate the kind of spotlight that you put on us that week among the Irish community. And hopefully this podcast helps that. And if anybody wants to get in touch with me, they can reach out at any time. And so just genuinely really appreciate everything that the NAICA has done for us.
No problem. You were like Kevin Phillips next to Niall Quinn in the Sunderland days.
I was, just didn't have the first touch.
All right, Dino. Well, listen, brilliant to chat to you. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Cheers, Enda.
Cheers, everyone.